Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 91, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, July 19th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
Once there was this Jack who had a daily podcast with his good friend Miles Gray, and when they dropped their hot takes, folks said, it's just a second-rate podcast. It didn't even faze them, they'd always just known that.
All right. That is courtesy of Mitch Wheeler. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I can't sing after that because...
Wow!
All I can say is, welcome, Jack!
All you can say, really.
I was about to do a Mace AK, and I was like, no. But you know what I do want to say? I've been getting so many magic eye tips. Thank you that I am Miles Gray, a.k.a. prying open my magic eye gray. Thank you to Hussein for that one.
Are you able to... Have you been able to see him?
Oh, man, I'm still fucking not able to see that shit. Look into your phone, look past the image, and then, like, begin to look less... Like, focus. I don't know, man.
Yeah, just, you gotta look at the reflection.
Shit. Like, look then, beyond it.
Yeah, I remember all that shit. And then I just learned it. I just did it on my own. It just naturally came to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my optometrist said I've got a talent for that shit. So, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Mr. Jackie Sneal.
The presence of Jacquees is Neil. That's it.
He was telling me what it was in the rhythm of, like I wouldn't know.
That's in the rhythm of.
In the rhythm of the presence of the Lord, because I'm bringing the gospel to you guys today.
Yeah.
We bring in the good Lord of Jesus Christ here on the Daily Zeitgeist today, guys. What's up?
What's up, man?
How are you?
We've been starting off our show recently just telling each other about the story about when we let Christ into our heart.
We have lost 500,000 listeners already.
We actually gained a few.
You gained the Bible Belt.
I like their jokes. They do this like lib joke stuff the whole time.
Speaking of gaining and losing and belt, Jaquise, you look amazing, dude.
Oh, man.
You've lost...
Crack. Keto, which is crack, man.
Keto is real.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to be like super producer Anna over here on the keto
you guys
life.
Both looking amazing.
Look at that. Look at this side of the table. Look at us.
Making me feel like I should do it, even though I never will.
Jack, I could lose 30 more pounds and you would still be skinnier than I am right now.
But you're saying it's like all about your lifestyle.
I mean, that's true. That's true. That's true. I feel great.
Yeah.
And you were just saying you feel like shit.
All the time. Just always. All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to talk about the coming heat wave. We're going to talk about the fact that franchisees are begging McDonald's head office for something that they're not providing. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about a distraction update from how the president's racism is being used to distract. We're just going to talk about the president being racist. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Bill Barr. We're going to talk about it being the 50th anniversary of the moon landing hoax.
What?
Now we're going to give the background on
the
conspiracy
Stanley Kubrick
theory.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about WikiLeaks. We're going to talk about the Alpha Zero paradox, which is just some cool shit I read about, and I can't not talk about it now. So I'm going to talk to you guys about that. We're going to talk about Game of Thrones. We're going to talk about foodie calls. Which is booty calls for food, not like a romance hotline where you talk to foodies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is that what it is for real?
No, it's food booty calls.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, foodie calls. The other option would be you like call some bearded dude in Brooklyn and he tells you about like...
his bespoke pickle company.
Yeah. But like real slow.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, baby.
You know anybody who is pickling their own shit?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man.
Like making their own pickles?
Yeah. Do you know anybody who's making their own pickles?
I hope not.
Do you know anybody? I feel like...
Do you?
I know some people who...
Yeah.
You know,
how you make
actually,
a pickle?
Actually...
It's like a hip person who's like, you know, I started making my own pickles.
I know somebody who makes their own jam.
Oh, yeah.
And has been for a long time.
Yeah,
I think
about
we
Mike
both
Schroer?
Know that person. Yeah,
on blast.
On blast.
I know somebody who makes their own toothpicks. And is proud as hell.
Wait, what? Make your own
His own toothpicks and he makes them flavored. He was like, yo, you want a toothpick?
Uh-huh.
Like, put the shit in your mouth. I'm like, this is weird, dude. You.
Are they impressive?
Like, they are. They strong, man. They're impressive. They're nice. Impressive.
Do they taste good?
I mean, they taste like wood.
Right.
So, right, it tastes like a minted wood.
Yeah.
But is this person manufacturing the toothpick also, or they're taking already made toothpicks
and
flavoring them?
No, he's manufacturing them. He's
how
like
do you
making
do
I
that
have
shit?
No fucking idea.
I've always had that, like, the question, how do you make a toothpick without, like, wasting a shitload of wood? Because don't you have to, like, carve it down from
a
bigger
like
piece
a cookie
of wood?
Right. Like press, we can just be like, and I pressed 1,000 toothpicks out of this toy.
Or maybe it is. Maybe they just use wood pulp. Anyways, this is Woodworkers Zeitgeist, the Daily Woodworker.
With Nick Offerman.
But first, Jaquise, before we get to any of that shit, we're going to ask you, what is something from your search history that's revealing?
Oh, shit. No, you know what? Here's the last thing I Google searched. Ellen DeGeneres is mean. Yeah. Yeah,
you wanted to confirm that, or you wanted to get into the conversation?
To tell Google.
I just wanted to tell Google, like, Google, let me...
Yo.
Google, I know what you think, but let me tell you what's up.
I think you should be talking about this, Google. Ellen DeGeneres is mean.
That has been the word
it's
around
been
the
rumor
in Hollywood circles.
I don't think I've met a person who's worked on this show in a creative capacity
who has said
it's like, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
They're like, it's...
Maybe, it's pretty
maybe
bad.
They're a little aggressive. I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. So I've been watching Game of Games lately for whatever reason on Hulu, and we're in the industry, so we can kind of start to see through
sure
like fake niceness.
Yeah,
and you can tell like she's just doing the job.
Right.
Which is fine. Yeah. Like, which is fine. Like, that's what she is supposed to do. She's doing the job. But I just want to be like, yo, I wonder, is this like on the internet? Like, is she mean? It is. People have written articles about it.
Oh, okay.
But then there's one defense that they came to her, and I was like, all right, I can feel that.
Which was what?
Which is like, she's a 61-year-old woman, and like everybody just expects her to smile and dance all the damn time. Yeah, it's like, how many 60-year-old women just like get walked up to and be like, yo, dance for me, monkey?
Right.
like yeah. Right. Now, but the flip side to that is, that's to fans. Like, fuck a fan.
Yeah.
Like, be nice to the people.
But be nice to the people who are working for you under you and shit like that.
Man, could you imagine me 61 and having that expectation on
you? It's wild.
Even in my 30s, I'd be like, please don't ask me to smile or fucking do anything.
Yeah, dude. It's wild,
I just knew she was mean because she looks so good. Like, she doesn't look like she's 61. So I figured she's, like, got to be doing some dark arts or
something. I had a reaction, actually, when you said 61. I was like, what the fuck?
I know, dude. It's wild.
She looked fucking stellar.
She looks great. She looks great.
Her and Tom Cruise are doing some weird rituals together.
Scientology.
what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Celebrity love. Celebrity love is overrated.
Okay.
Which isn't that big of a revelation. Drop the bomb. Drop the bomb on that. Celebrity love.
What do you mean? Elaborate.
Our love for celebrities
in many ways. One way is like the parasocial aspect of people loving celebrities and then thinking you know them type thing. The second one is, let's take Bagel Boss, for instance. How this nigga like acted terribly and now he's getting like celebrity sign-ins to fight and shit like that.
Right.
And get in, and this is way beyond just, oh, this was a viral video. And it's deeper than that even. But just the way we're willing to jump on popular shit and people and hype them up like they're important.
Bit of value you can.
It's so insane, dude. And then even beyond that, like the entitlement. Like, think about, I was on Twitter. There's this wrestler called, her name is Naomi. And somebody was like, yo, you're a mean ass. I tried to get a picture with you, and you didn't take a picture with me. And she was like, well, first of all, that's because you were calling me by the wrong name 4 or 5 times. You were calling me Carmella, which is a white wrestler, and I'm a black wrestler.
Wow.
And two, you like forced a camera in my face, and I still took a picture with you, and you wanted to take another one, and I didn't let you. Like, that entitlement is so crazy. We're like, you're a celebrity. I make you. So, like, everything about it. Like,
both sides
so
of
crazy.
The transaction.
Both sides of the transaction is so wild.
Yeah. Isn't Bagel Boss, he's supposed to fight another celebrity? Or
I think
another viral celebrity or something?
Yeah, he signed a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm actually having people over for the pay-per-view event at my house.
You got a viral video, Miles? You want to fight him?
Oh, man, I'll fuck that dude up.
Dude,
I would love to fight him.
I would love to fight him, actually.
But it's not a fair one.
It's not.
I have literally a fucking foot of height on him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I would pay to see it. I would pay to see it.
Yeah.
Side gang, where you at?
Put the purse together. You know what? I could fight him with only my legs. No arms. I'll kick the shit out of him, bro.
Just doing those moves from Bloodsport.
Like exactly. I'll bottle cap challenge the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That shit is
I mean,
funny.
I think people do, you know, tend to, like, that's a thing that people say, that, like, we're too obsessed with celebrity, but I don't think people respect how bad it is. Like, I mean, it might end up being the thing that brings America down because of, like, who our president is.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know.
It's insane.
A glitch in,
it would be fitting, though.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Sadly, I just don't want to be here to witness that terrible fall.
You will
but
be.
Like, I mean, we're in the midst of it, but, you know.
Like, all the founding fathers and all the, like, the shit that America was built on was, like, not giving any person so much power. Mm-hmm. And our whole system now is, like, designed to just, like, turn these people into gods.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
you a star? You want to rule everything?
Exactly.
Yeah. Dope.
I mean, Kanye knew. No one man should have all that power.
It's true.
And Kanye went down ever since then.
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
Kanye said that.
Unless it's me.
Unless it's me.
No, he uses.
And then he dyed his hair.
What is something you think is underrated?
Y'all ready for this? Bacon.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Underrated.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about bacon. Let me tell you something about bacon. Uh-huh. Whoever's editing this, put some music under this. Put some music under this. Let me give you an ode to bacon real quick. Let me give you an ode to bacon. Ah, bacon. Everybody says they love you, but do they really? Vegetarians, you offend me. Not really. Because you don't like meat? Damn. This anger inside of me is feeling like heat. Bacon, I wake up in the morning, stomach growling. Go to the refrigerator, see a piece of pig. Ooh, my mouth is howling. I put it on the skillet, 4-5 pieces. Damn, you know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling chocolate like Reese's. Bacon is so good, I can eat it all day. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I can even eat it with bae.
Whoa.
Bacon. Snap your finger. Bacon is delicious, man. Bacon is delicious.
You just found that out?
Nah, I knew it. but I just want people. Everybody says they love bacon, but bacon gets a bad rap for this reason. We try to cook it in too many different ways. Like, I used to microwave bacon. Wrong.
You did?
I did. Because it's a shortcut. I want bacon, but I don't want to put the time in, right? And then you also get like all these abominations in bacon, like sugar-free bacon. And
sugar-free?
They're sugar-free bacon.
Wow.
If you ever on Whole30, that's all they can eat.
Oh, wow.
And all these other bacons. And you know what? Just give me some good bacon. Put it on the skillet. You can eat about 4 or 5 of them.
You like crispy?
Hell yeah.
4 or 5 packages?
Yeah.
About 4 or 5
I like packages. Crispy. I like rubbery. I like everything in between. That shit can almost be raw. I don't care.
Medium rare.
I love it.
I love a medium rare bacon.
My fiance was eating bacon last week, and she choked on it. Which sounds terrible, but like it was too loose.
Like it went down the wrong.
It went down we were at a Brazilian barbecue joint, okay. And it was turkey wrapped bacon, and
turkey wrapped.
I know.
It's
delicious.
Turkey wrapped or bacon wrapped turkey?
Bacon wrapped turkey.
Well, I was like, wait, hold on.
Bacon wrapped turkey.
Where is this place?
Yeah. And she ate it and like started choking on it because one of the pieces of bacon wasn't cooked like too hard, so it went down the wrong throat. Or the wrong whatever. And she pulled it out. It was scary. And then immediately started eating bacon again. And I was like, that's why I love you.
There you go.
Like, you choked on that.
It almost killed you.
You ate the thing that came out.
Oh, yeah. No, that would have been. I don't love nothing that much.
Right. You were looking at it on the plate. You're like, so you're not going to eat that?
You're not going to eat that bacon?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody's too good.
You want to keep that ring on your finger, girl?
Someone Heimlichs it and you like jump directly, catch it in your mouth.
Let me tell you something, dude. When she started choking, it put so much shit in perspective for me that, like, I'm not equipped to help anybody, right? Like, she started choking, and all I did was got up and started patting her on the back. Like,
that's pretty good.
And, like, started yelling, help! And I was like, yo, if we were alone right now, she the one who got the shit out. She, like, dug in her damn throat and pulled it out.
Wow.
And I was like, I ain't do a damn. Like, if it was up to me, you would have been dead.
I thought you said, all I could do is I got up. I got my phone out.
I started recording that shit.
Like, yo, look at her.
Look at this girl choking.
You look dumb. You live right now. We live. You look dumb.
Keep those hearts going. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false? Or vice versa?
Here's a myth. That the Lakers are going to win the championship in the next 5 years.
Wow.
They won't. Oh. They won't.
I'd believe that.
They won't. I think
I believe it and I don't believe it, but I can see it.
I think LeBron's championship run is over.
The well has run dry.
I think the well has run dry. I think it's going to be a whole bunch of salty ass Laker fans when the Lakers don't make it to a finals for the next 2 to 3 years. And I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. And this isn't even LeBron hate. I don't hate LeBron. I've actually come around to LeBron. I'm not rooting for him because he still kicked my ass so much as a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
But I don't root against him either. Like, LeBron is a guy. LeBron is the GOAT.
But has he softened your view on the Lakers because he's on the Lakers?
He has made me hate the Lakers more. And that's mostly because
that's
of Laker fans.
Paradoxical. Right, right, right.
It's They're mostly because like, of Laker fans. Like, you got the greatest player in the past 25 years on your team. Mm-hmm. And
they
y'all
want a
still
cape for
trash.
A rapist.
Second
y'all,
best after yeah. Kobe.
See? See? See, Jack? Get out.
Exactly.
I know, man.
And they still trash. They had AD and Kawhi didn't come, and Laker fans were still mad. Like, y'all got AD 2 days ago.
Right.
So because of that karma.
Well, I think, you know, and I say this, and I've said this on Culture Kings, too. There are two types, I think, of Laker fans. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who got in, like, in the Shaq Kobe era and thought, well, this is going to be a dynasty forever, and this will always be a winning team. It's the new Patriots. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like me, locals, who have sat through fucking desert droughts of, like, the Randy Fund era right after Pat Riley into Del Harris and those other coaches. And I was like, for a while, I was like, I like the Lakers, but we don't win. Or whatever, fuck it. And I think also, too, but the people who, like, are so gassed up where they're just like, the Lakers are, you know, infallible, and they should be the greatest team, and they need to be here, and blah, 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 fuck all these other teams. Like, nah, that's too toxic, and it's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
And I guess that's what it is, too. If you can't be objective, I mean, look, obviously being a fan of a team is, you can't really be objective.
Yeah.
But at least understand, like, where we're at in this sort of evolution of the team.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Like,
and then, too, here's an argument that I hate where I'm like, I hope y'all don't win shit for a long ass time. Is whenever they throw out, like, the, man, we got 16 championships. Man, six of those championships came before people knew how to dribble a basketball.
Right.
Like, I don't give no fuck about them championships from the 40s and 50s and 60s.
They're like, like George Mikan championships?
Watch George Mikan get crossed the fuck up.
The Minneapolis Lakers?
You're like, get out of here, man. Like,
is that true? That's where some of their championships
people were fucking Naruto running on the court.
The 10 championships came during the Magic era and 10 came during the Kobe era. And those are the 10 that are added. The other six... Or like
mean
the
five and five.
I mean the Showtime.
I mean, sorry, 5 and 5, which makes 10.
Right.
Like the other six was them George Mikan years, the Jerry West years. Now that team was good.
Right.
But they also sucked bad.
Right.
Hey, rings are rings though.
Rings are rings though. You know? But like, I don't want to hear the 16, like the whole 27 Yankees championships.
Yeah, 27 rings, bro.
Yeah, that's like don't I'm not counting any championship before black people were allowed to play baseball.
The game was changed.
Right. The game was changed.
And I think you say the same about basketball too. It's like, well, what was the percentage of black people in the league?
Yeah.
Was that the NBA?
Yeah.
Or was that a rec league for white people?
I do have to say, since you were talking about droughts in Lakers history, Lakers have the shortest droughts ever.
They do.
Like
sure.
Like even after Pat Riley, like Magic took the Lakers to the finals against Jordan.
And who they lose to?
Jordan.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But then when the Bulls were like in last place for a number of years, the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq and when
No,
you
I
know,
guess
it's just
I guess more like my expectation. I don't get as fucking angry like I feel like the fucking world owes me a ring or
right.
something. Where I think people that's a function of the dynasties that have existed before.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, shit ebbs and flows.
Right.
So when it's fucking, and for me, I get nervous when I see all these, like, if we got Kawhi, I was going to be more nervous because the Lakers don't do great when the roster on paper looks really good. Typically, those have been some awful fucking teams.
Yeah, I mean, they're
favorite. I mean, granted, Kobe and Shaq's different, but, like, the fucking Karl Malone, Gary Payton fucking fiasco or Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, I'm just like, right. I remember at the time, I was like, here we go.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, no.
And then them boys got mollywopped by the Pistons.
That's right.
By the no superstar Pistons. Yeah.
What a weird team.
What
I mean,
a
I guess
weird team.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some non-NBA conversations.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, It's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and as of yesterday, I feel like Trump, so like Ivanka got to him or something, because he's, the headline on Drudge yesterday morning was Trump turns on MAGA.
This is what? Oh, in regards to the sender back.
Yeah, because chant. he said he was, quote, not happy with the chant.
Could have been louder. Could have been a lot louder.
And he also said he had tried to cut it off, which the New York Times pointed out is a claim contradicted by video of the event.
By him Millie rocking during it?
Right. The boy was happy.
Boy, oh, shit.
Asked why he did not stop the chant, Trump said, I think I did. I started speaking very quickly, whereas in fact the crowd roared send her back, and Mr. Trump looked around and seemed to bask in the enthusiastic refrain. So I don't know. I don't know where this dissonance is coming from. Like, so somewhere in his life, somebody was like, "This is a bad look."
They're like,
something.
"Yeah." They're like, "If you want to even try to pretend you're not a racist,
right?
Everyone knows you are."
Yeah.
But if I mean, you're running out of hands to play.
Right? Yeah. It's also crazy how bold their lies are.
Yeah.
Like his son the other day was saying some shit about, yo, 95% of the country agrees with Trump. Like, I'm just like, bro, like, why are you being that hyperbolic?
Yeah,
like,
right. 95%. You just made that shit up right there.
Even if you would have just said 50%, I would have been like, yeah, okay, yeah. But 95, dude, and you want us to believe that? Like, right. You just bold-faced lying.
I think he was trying to refer to, like, the 90% plus approval rating among Republicans, maybe.
Right.
But that's not the country. That's of
right.
The party who is, yeah, sure, 9 out of 10 racists agree.
Yeah, it's wild.
My chin is 95% there. Would be like,
it's so crazy how he's trying to pretend. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, this is, you know, the problem is most of the civilized earth has acknowledged racism as
bad.
Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
bad.
You can't, it's not, there's no way for them to, like, both, they can't say racism is bad and we're racist, but not see their own acts as being bad. It's just a fucking, they're in a really weird place logically, trying to reason their actions but deny that they are just on the face of it just racist.
I mean, here's the thing, dude. I look at it like this. You get a meter of 10, right? And whenever his meter tips over 10, that's when, like, everybody comes and says, yo, you got to apologize for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Until that happens, they don't give it. Here's a funny thing. Here's what I don't understand. I wish people would stop saying shit like, yo, you a racist motherfucker and you know it. I don't have a, and then they say, I don't have a racist bone in my body.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they don't believe they racist.
Yeah, no,
they don't
sure.
believe they racist.
What?
They,
yeah.
they believe in everything that they say. And to them, that's not racism.
Racism to, I think, a lot of white people, especially in America, is I'm not killing somebody because of their skin.
Yeah.
That's racism.
Yeah. Right.
Me discriminating against somebody or me calling the police on a person of color because I feel like that's not born out of my racism.
Mm-hmm.
Because racism, I think that's the line, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly not about speech. That's not racism. I think that's probably the next fucking frontier for them to fucking forge is just be like, oh, that was a racist attack that claimed somebody's life. And again, that happened in Charlottesville, even though the victim may have been white, but plowed through a crowd of people who were counter-protesting racists and just being like, well, you know, that's they were good people. That's a bad egg.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
if you look at this lot, we're all bad eggs. So I don't know what the fuck you want me to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a very interesting process of, regression.
We're going to be salty when he wins still.
Mm.
That's the scary part. When 2020 comes, we're going to be salty as hell when he wins again our side can't get our shit together.
But yeah, well, especially when all you're going to do is, when Nancy Pelosi was like, the words that he said were racist.
Yeah.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. Hmm?
All Nancy, the way across.
She's, her being dismissive of the base of her party. It's like the opposite of what Trump is doing.
Well, yeah, I think both sides, like, you know, in terms of Republicans or Democrats at that age, of that generation, racism
right.
is still, like, they don't think it's real to people still.
Right.
That's why it's easy to be like, no, that's not racist. And for them, they don't, like, for Pelosi, it's like, I mean, it's bad, but, you know, whatever, we'll get past it. Rather than seeing, like, many people in the country see this shit and are like, yo, this is terrible. This is the fucking beginnings of going, you know, 100 years back instantly. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we'll go 300 years back,
this
400.
This is the thing that gets people shot and killed in the street.
Especially in, like, now, especially with this full court press on vilifying Ilhan Omar, it's just, it's fucked up. And you'd think that they would do more to speak out against this, especially when, like, the government will even take actions against companies or people in companies who would behave this way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, again, you know.
Well, it's hard for me to take Nancy Pelosi seriously when a week ago she was telling these four congresswomen to sit down and know your place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I don't want to hear your fake rebuke of Trump.
Yeah.
Because you know what Trump is doing? He using your actions and putting them in his goddamn tweets, just like Nancy Pelosi said. Right. Even Nancy Pelosi think these women are blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yo, you giving him fuel to the fire. So,
yeah.
Shut your ass up.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Democrats are asking for increased security for Ilhan Omar. And, I mean, rightly so, because that was fucking terrifying. Just the visceral, like, anger and hatred in the crowd when he just mentioned her name. So,
yeah.
Scary shit.
And we're already going down that slope, just like many fascist countries do, where we begin saying, who's an American and who's not an
right,
American?
Right. Well, Bill Barr, who is, you know, Trump's attorney general, and I think the answer to the really terrifying question people had of, like, what would it be like if Trump's administration was actually competent? Then we'd really be fucked. Bill Barr is actually very good at doing the evil he does. And, like, with this, the asylum legislation they're trying to get passed, you know, I was listening to national security commentators saying that, like, that is actually a really shrewd and smart way to do the horrible thing they're trying to do, basically from a legal perspective, saying that other countries need to, you know, take people who are seeking asylum in, or at least deny their asylum claim, or, you know, people have to seek asylum in the countries they pass through is, like, a very shrewd, horrible move, but...
Well, yeah, because they're just trying to end the process for people to legally seek asylum in this country. It's like, no, that's not really happening anymore.
Trying to end legal...
And these immigration. Are things that have been, like, agreed in fucking, like, the UN and shit.
Right.
But, you know, Use tricky legal shit to completely shut the borders down.
So speaking of being good at being evil, Bill Barr, it turns out, was donating to Senate Republicans leading up to his confirmation hearing.
Yeah. The fucking 5 months before.
He's always blatant with your shit.
Yeah, he's always been, a supporter of the Republican Party, obviously. Like, a lot of these people donate their money to these different groups, like the NRSC, which is basically the fundraising arm for Senate Republicans. But very interesting, his contributions to these groups fucking surged around the time, like from the months leading up to Sessions' resignation, and in the 5 months ahead of his confirmation, he gave $51,000 to the National Republican Senatorial Committee before a Senate confirmation.
Yeah,
of his nomination.
Which is, here's the scary part about that. I hear that price, $51,000, and I'm like, damn, that's a lot of money. But to these rich ass people,
yeah, that's nothing.
That's like me saying, yo, Miles, it go 2 pennies, my nigga.
All right.
Put Elizabeth Warren in office. Like, cool. Like, that's nothing, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
nothing. Well, I think because they have to, like, I think that's his intent, right? Showing him, like, look, let's do this. Like, here, I'm going to give you guys some money. I can who knows what other people he said he could get to donate as well.
Yeah.
To do this, because these are the senators, too, who can influence the administration to nominate him. And, a lot of people will be like, well, of course you gave him money. Like, there's nothing suspicious going on. I mean, there is, like, when you just look at this, right, he was donating on a schedule, giving $10,000 every month on the third of every month. And that continued until he was confirmed.
That shit's crazy, man.
So that was just 11 days after his last contribution. Now, they gave back $30,000, but that makes no difference to me. I think you see what's going on. And look, you can't really point to any real explicit quid pro quo for this. But if you even look at it, like, Jeff Sessions, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, they weren't even doing shit like this. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, they have given to campaigns, but never like anything having to do with the Senate before a confirmation hearing or any kind of other hearing having to do with their work. And the other shitty part about this is what Bill Barr is doing isn't technically illegal. It's just fucking suspect.
Yeah. Right. That's the sad part.
It's like, I guess we need laws to enforce shit like this. We need to, like, actually make this a law to be like, hi, if you're going to be confirmed for a position to be top cop, don't fucking grease the wheels or whatever the fuck this is.
I mean, in 15 years, when all the movies and the documentaries and shit are made about this administration.
Yeah.
And we really find out how much illegal and underhanded and under the table shit that has been going on. This is something that isn't new. I've probably even said this, but the fact that a president like Obama was reamed from wearing a brown suit, and you get shit like, it's like, these people are so corrupt and it's so crazy.
Or imagine if Obama had a fucking golf part, like a stripper golf party at his business while in office.
Right.
It's crazy, bro.
But again, this just shows you how partisan, like, some of these people are, where there is no objective good or bad. It's just like, there's our side. And whatever the fuck we do is good. Whatever y'all do is bad.
It's bad.
End of story.
Right. And from an outsider's perspective, it would seem like the mainstream media has an extreme rightward bias because Republicans get away with this shit and Democrats don't get away with anything.
Yeah.
They're held to a much higher standard. But, the inside, viewing things from inside, people have somehow convinced themselves that Fox News is the only place with a rightward bias.
Yeah, I think one other thing to add, right, is like with Bill Barr, the kinds of what the DOJ has been doing with him, like him saying, we don't need to prosecute Eric Garner's murderer.
Right.
That'll be my call. I'll do all these other things. I can do the fucking dirty work. And now, when we realize there's a report that came out that when Hope Hicks was interviewed by the FBI, because they're like, she claims she didn't know anything about Stormy Daniels' hush money payments at all. And then it comes out, they're like, well, we have like a lot of evidence that sort of contradicts like what she was actually saying. And now it sounds like Hope Hicks will not even be charged for anything in the Southern District of New York because, Bill Barr is sort of like, let's keep that out of the spotlight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to be a partisan actor. Like, that's right. Like, an attorney general is not.
No, he's supposed to be bipartisan.
Right. He's supposed to not be doing shit just to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that we even have to ask that question shows you how far things have, like, shifted.
Right.
That it's guy's just not supposed to.
Right.
It's I not mean, the technically, president's attorney.
Here's what I truly believe. I think technically anybody like him, or even once you get to the office of the presidency, you shouldn't be partisan. I know that's a radical fucking idea.
Right.
But Senate, House of Representatives, yeah, sure, Republican, Democrat, split it up. Who cares? I get that. Checks and balances. But when you get to that part of the office, and you get to the part where, just, like, you're supposed to be overseeing everything.
Yeah.
And I know that's a very unrealistic point to aspire to. I get it. Don't come in my mentions like, but Jacquees, this is how.
But it's bipartisan. It's a two-party system.
I will find you. I will find you.
But you just want something like King David or King Solomon.
I don't know someone who fair. Those people are, but
who is the dude in the Bible who is like, we'll cut the baby in half? Remember that?
That was Solomon.
That was Solomon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're talking about. That's so like,
you want
fair
him to
fair.
Threaten to kill all the babies in America?
I mean, listen.
Cutting them in half. Well,
listen, you know.
It's fair.
Listen.
Fair is fair.
Do we really need babies? Do we really need babies? How long would it take for Earth to cease existing if babies stopped living, if babies stopped being born?
I don't know, man. Watch Children of Men.
Is that what that movie is about?
Great all opening. Right. Great opening scene.
Yeah, but I mean, we were just talking about the fact that it does seem like, and I think in the past, and again, this is just like baseline setting, like stuff that used to be obvious to us, but presidents used to be like supposed to be above the fray a little bit and not like get into these like slap fights and partisan bickering and shit. And yeah, we were just talking actually before we recorded, like Trump had some, you know, first he did the claiming that he wasn't fond of the racist chants at his rally. And we were like, wait, why is he doing that? And somebody else pointed out that he had like victims of religious persecution in the White House. And, you know, they were like, isn't that weird that he had that? And it's like, well, but that's what you're supposed to do as president.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's the very basic, like, you're supposed to just be a symbol of America and not just like a partisan, like.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it was the emptiest of gestures to have those people. There was a Rohingya person who was asking him, he's like, do you have a plan to help my people? And he's like, where's that at?
Right.
So it's like,
where's your people?
All right,
on
man.
On Earth.
Take it easy, bro.
It's wild, man. I was thinking about this just now. How even though like we've been partisan with presidents, Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons, and stuff like that, I can't like even Bush wouldn't get in like these little squabbles and shit that Trump is. And I don't know if it's just like because of the social media era we live in, so it's a lot easier for somebody to just write their goddamn thoughts down.
Well, yeah,
but
I mean, he at least
there is a sense of decorum that even the worst of presidents have had in the past, like, 50 years.
Well, but Bush was just sort of secretly taking away our freedoms.
Right.
Like, he was on the surface, be like, I will act like a president, and then I'll let these goons do the darkest
shit. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. But listen, we know everything is better in the shadows, y'all.
Right. Well, speaking of things that happen in the shadows, let's talk about the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. It's tomorrow. It is, you know, one of the greatest things ever accomplished, or so they told you. Our writer, J.M. McNabb, did a little bit of a deep dive, gave us a history on the moon landing hoax, because, you know.
The idea that it's a hoax, or are we acknowledging that this is a hoax?
I guess we probably shouldn't tell people just yet.
What our take is.
Right.
We'll let the evidence speak for itself.
No, I'm just saying we shouldn't reveal just yet the truth that we all know as Hollywood insiders.
Ooh.
But so he wanted to like kind of look into, you know, how this idea got started. One really wild thing is that, so they were talking about how the first book that came out in 1974. It was a self-published book called We Never Went to the Moon. America's $30 billion swindle!
Damn, it only costs $30 billion?
Yeah.
In those dollars.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people got rich off that thing, man. You know?
Yeah, Neil
Where'd
Armstrong.
That money go? Follow the money. but they pointed out that in July 1970, so just a year after the moon landing, 30% of Americans already believe the moon landing had been faked.
Without shit being out there, like publicized
or whatever? Yeah, people were like, man, that looks fake as
fuck. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Yeah. That seems far away.
A lot of religious people were like that, too. My grandma don't believe in the moon landing. She said it was something done to make people not believe in God.
Right.
It's wild.
Oh, like to acknowledge space and like the expanse of it all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
His evidence, the author of this book, Bill Kasing's evidence, is that you can't see stars in the photos. And
that's it?
Yeah, that's one of his big pieces of evidence. And the reason for that is there's more direct sunlight in space, so you can't. They couldn't get the proper exposure to show it, but that's, you know, Gish Gallop.
Photography.
Yeah, that makes me sound like I'm a real nerd. And he's like, yeah, blah, blah,
well, what,
blah.
Do you want me to expose to this background or do you want me to expose to the foreground, the subjects in the photo? Okay, I can't balance the ISO shutter speed and aperture to get this right.
Kasing's book was actually the one that suggested that it was secretly Stanley Kubrick that shot the fake
moon
landing.
The OG guy? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He came up with that.
Okay.
The other way that this got started was this.
We all know.
Russian propaganda.
The haters.
Russian propaganda.
I would do that shit too.
Yeah, because they didn't want their people to think that they were getting their ass beat to the moon. So they started spreading that in Russia, and also it made its way to America, and a bunch of Americans were like, huh.
Because they were winning space wars up until that point, right? Russia was.
The U.S.
passed them during that time.
During that time, okay.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it's worth noting that a lot of the Russian space program was just like, it was helped by their complete lack of concern for human life.
Yeah.
They would just like fire dudes
or dogs
into the sky, and just like you'd hear them on the radio just be like, oh God, I'm burning up.
Who did they send up first? Was it a dog or
a dog, monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a monkey.
I think Americans sent up a monkey.
Oh, okay.
And they sent up a dog.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just wild, like bringing it into the modern day. Trump, you know, has been talking about a lot of space missions.
Space Force.
But he also, like a lot of his homies think that the moon, like Roger Stone said, the moon landing was a hoax shot in a warehouse in New Jersey. Alex Jones claimed the footage was Tinker Toy stuff. And even before he took office, Trump seemed like bizarrely focused on sending astronauts to the moon. People were like, wait, do you think we've already done that? Do you know we've already done that? We never really got a clear answer on that, but he switched to Mars after a Neil Cavuto piece was like, we could do bigger things than go to
the go somewhere we've already been.
We can go to Jupiter
a dozen times.
Do people who and I'll let you know where I'm at on this. Do people think that just the 1969 moon landing was a hoax, or they think all of the times we went to the moon? Because
it must be, right?
Because like, fine, if you think the first one is a hoax, that's cool, but acknowledge that we've been to the moon, because they went like a few times after that.
Well,
too,
also,
didn't they
also like fired a laser at the moon and had it bounce back from something they left up there.
Right, right, right.
To like prove it. They were just like, fine assholes, here. We flew up there, we left a fucking mirror there, boom.
Yeah.
People are like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Lasers.
I guess, I mean, I wonder, I understand like the religious argument of how you would rationalize it, because that might completely fuck up your whole worldview.
Yeah.
Like to be like, wait a second. Like, now I'm questioning my place in this heaven, the universe, or whatever. But like, and the Russians are just haters.
Right.
Like, nah, no, y'all didn't go up there. Or that's what we'll tell people, because our brand is really fucked up right now. But I don't know, like, are the other people just on, I guess, maybe flat earthers? Who are the, I'm curious what that Venn diagram is of ideologies that overlaps in, no, the moon landing wasn't real.
For the three episodes I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, I heard him be like, I don't know, man, you look at a lot of that footage, there's some things that don't make sense. And like, those are just like,
pseudo-intellectual
bros.
Yeah. But also, yeah, there's a lot of shit that don't make sense. First of all, it was shot in 1969. Like, a lot of TV that we watch now from that time don't make sense. That shit was terrible. Like, TV was just bad then. And then also, they were shooting shit in space. I'm sure that whatever laws of physics apply to filmmaking on Earth might change in space.
There's also like a 3-second shot that everybody associates with the moon landing, and there's like there's all these other pictures that nobody really has seen that have come out that make it clear they're on the moon.
Yeah.
Like, and you can see it from different angles, and it's not just that one picture, but that's just the iconic one. And people are like, well, look at the flag. It's not waving. Something we noticed walking to lunch yesterday that it is just a good example of how up its own ass Hollywood is Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin got their own Hollywood stars, and it's in the category of TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're real TV stars.
And yeah. Michael Collins, too.
And all four of them did. Yeah. Let me put my L.A. tour guy hat on. All four of them have it, and they put it in the TV category because...
I mean, that was some good
up acting. Up until, I think still to this day, it's the most watched television program of all time.
That's just funny to me.
So that allowed the loophole for them to
I mean,
be
that's
in
great
it.
Programming. That's great content. You fly out of the moon and shoot them, putting a fucking flag up there?
I know, but what people don't know...
Hot damn.
Netflix is thinking about that right now. It's like, okay, man, can we get somebody on the moon again?
Can we get somebody on the moon? What they don't know is Neil Armstrong was the person on Earth, but up there... It's really a young Morgan Freeman.
What?
In that astronaut suit.
Yep.
That's a Hollywood inside. It's a young Morgan Freeman. It's his first movie role.
his
first TV role. He was about 69.
One giant step for mankind.
I mean, that would have been better, man. all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Couple quick things off the top. Very important. It's going to be hot as fuck this weekend, so stay cool.
What they say, two-thirds of the country is basically fucking roasted?
Yeah, blanketed in like all-time highs, and the lows are like all-time high lows. The Drudge headline for this is, the heat goes on. June, toastiest on record. July may follow. Toasty is a nice way to describe the end of the world. And also, we just wanted to mention that McDonald's needs to get its shit together and invent a chicken sandwich that's on par with Chick-fil-A.
They're angry.
Franchisees are pissed.
They're saying they're getting killed. They're like, we need a premium chicken sandwich.
Right.
You ain't getting killed, man. Y'all got 5 million McDonald's around the world.
But Chick-fil-A is on, it's on the come up in terms of like fast food franchises.
You know what's crazy, too,
Taco Bell.
I can imagine how that makes you feel shitty. Like, even if McDonald's is number one and Chick-fil-A is like number 8 or 9, the fact that a restaurant that has 90% less stores than you and closes for an entire day of the week still is like on your fucking heels.
Right. And they're still gaining
And they're still gaining on you. I can imagine that makes you feel some type of way.
Yeah.
Shit is wild.
It's like me fighting Bagel Boss guy with my arms behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to talk about something called the Alpha Zero Paradox. There's an article in The Atlantic that is Henry Kissinger and a couple of other like luminaries talking about how the world needs to start getting ready for basically the singularity. Eric Schmidt, one of the founders of Google, and somebody named Daniel Huttenlocher. And in this piece, so they're basically talking about the singularity, like where computers get so smart that they're like making moves beyond what we can even conceive of. And in this article, they talk about this thing called the Alpha Zero Paradox that is one of the most terrifying but like interesting examples of this that I've heard. So, you know how that like artificial intelligence learning how to play chess is always a like thing, and that a computer could beat one of the grandmasters of the Ku Klux Klan, chess. At chess is...
Be David Duke?
Yeah. I mean, the man himself. Are they called grandmasters?
Is it Grand Wizard or something?
Grand Wizards.
Some grand shit.
Yeah, but chess people are called grandmasters. Anyways, that was always like a big deal. So they taught this computer like the rules of chess and then just had it play itself for 24 hours. And it became, in 24 hours, became the best chess player in the world. It's better than any grandmasters, better than any of those like highly publicized chess playing computer programs in the past. And the difference about what they did is they didn't give it any of the data of like how humans have played chess up to that point. They didn't like teach it any like chess strategy or anything. They just taught it the rules and then just like let it go to like figure out how to play it. And the way it plays chess is like how like people would consider it wrong. They're like, no, that's not how you play it, but it's better than everybody.
So it's like making moves that to a chess champion would be like, okay,
I'm about to kick your ass, baby.
And then
cut to checkmate.
They say it's like chess from another dimension.
That's what
the
champions are saying.
The expert says, yeah,
I want to play it and see how quick. How long I can last.
Yeah. Right. I'm terrible at chess, so I'm sure if I got high, I could maybe battle it too. Because I'm thinking outside the box,
I'm thinking outside the box.
Computer.
I've been playing chess every night for the past like month and a half to 2 months just to kind of like make my brain sharper. Mm-hmm. Like I'll play before I go to bed, like on my phone, and the computer annoys the shit out of me. Because like I'm up here taking like 60 seconds, 90 seconds in between moves. And I make my move in the computer 1 second.
Boom.
Because no matter where I go, it puts it into the
calculations.
Yeah,
right.
And it calculates like, this is the best move, 1 second, each time.
I don't know. I found this interesting for a couple of reasons. A, like, because, you know, we talk about the zeitgeist here. And
daily.
In something as conceptually concrete as chess, like, all human learnings and assumptions were getting in the way of the truth, And like, I think that's a good metaphor, like a good way to kind of, a good thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about like how the world sees things, how people are talking about things. It's, that is a lens that is refracting like everything you see. So it's not, it's not the truth in a lot of ways. It's causing us to miss a huge part of the truth. And you know, we obviously have a dramatic example of that with the 2016 election. And we've spent the last 3 years trying to explain how all of human wisdom and all the press and all that shit got it wrong, and only like a few people
actually know.
And not all, yeah, how all the mainstream media got it wrong.
I'm waiting for sex to go ahead and tell us the truth about sex.
Like a machine?
It's like
y'all are fucking wrong.
Y'all fucking so wrong. It'll take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Three seconds and both people can
orgasm. Pipe bot is ready.
Teach us. Teach us what we don't know.
But the other thing, I mean, that's kind of what they were talking about, is this is just one example. Like people always used to talk about the singularity, like this point at which robots and like artificial intelligence goes beyond human understanding, as like this one event that would happen all at once. But it seems like it's happening kind of piecemeal. And this is an example of the singularity happening in chess, like where it's just making moves beyond human comprehension. And that seems like a thing that shouldn't even necessarily be possible. You should always be able to like understand the logic of why someone is making chess moves, because it's a finite game.
It was a game created by us too.
Right.
Like it's not science. It's a game that somebody hundreds of years ago decided, you know what? I think the pawn should only move one or two spots.
Right, exactly.
I think this horse should go in. Like that's just somebody who decided.
But I think that's like a good example of it, because it's finite and concrete, like we're seeing what's going to happen with everything else in AI just there first, because it's kind of a fixed field. But the article says like we can expect comparable discoveries by AI and other fields. Some will upend conventional wisdom and standard practices. Others will merely tweak them. And they'll all leave us struggling to understand. Consider the conduct of driverless cars stopped at a traffic light. When cars driven by people inch forward to try to beat the traffic, some driverless cars will join them, though nothing in the rules of driving given to them suggests they should do so. If this inching forward has been learned, how and for what purpose? How is it different from what people are taught and learn about waiting for a traffic light? What else might AI learn that is not, quote, telling us? And they make the point, because AI like can't explain back to us what it's doing,
what it's thinking.
Right. And so I feel like there's going to be a lot of examples like that, where all of a sudden, you know, AI is spitting out decisions that seem crazy to us. And then we have to like figure out, we have to decide whether to trust it or not, because the AI is not going to be able to tell us why.
And pretty soon people will be bowing at the altar of some fucking computer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us,
I mean,
please.
The scary thing, like Kissinger, you know, who had to deal with Richard Nixon, who thought it was a good idea to, you know, nuke Vietnam. Kissinger talks about how, you know, what happens when we start running international relations decisions through AI, or checking it with AI, like will mutually assured, well, you know, mutually assured destruction has been a great deterrent up to this point when it comes to using nuclear weapons or not using them. But like, what if AI is like, nah,
don't worry, they're pussy.
Right,
exactly.
Set that shit off.
I mean, I just rewatched iRobot like a week ago.
Yeah,
and that movie is good. Movie is good because it talks about
Isaac Asimov had some ideas.
Yeah, it talks about that in a very basic term, very basic way, basically. But like the three laws, where a robot can never harm a human, must always listen to a human, and must always
protect, drive an Audi,
and must always drive a dope ass Audi.
Yeah,
right. But then like the computer starts to learn. It's like, well, we're trying to do all this shit, but you guys are fucking it up. So the only way we can protect you is to control you.
Yeah,
And it's wild how true that is. Like the only way. It's like we're babies. The only way to protect a baby is to absolutely control it.
Right.
Like shit we do to babies, we wouldn't do to an adult, generally.
Yeah. Right.
Generally.
Or some adults pay to be treated like a baby.
Or some adults, yeah. Mm-hmm. Treat me like a baby. Yeah, so it's wild, man. It's wild that we are dumb. So if we keep creating shit that is going to be smarter than a lot of humanity.
Right.
Eventually it's going to be like, y'all are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to fucking take over. Yeah. Fucking this whole thing up.
We keep creating shit that learns.
Yeah.
Right. We just need to create something that doesn't know self-preservation.
Right.
You do that, and then if it starts getting too bad, be like, you know what, robot? Kill yourself.
Right.
And it will, he'd be like,
My bad.
But that sister podcast, Sleepwalkers, was talking about how people who study, like, how it's basically training and, like, decision manipulation, how to get people to make the decision you want them to at Stanford. So they study, like, dog training methods, and they also study, you know, human, like, Skinner box stuff, like how to get people to press the button you want them to. And those are the people that invented Instagram, like, people who, like, came from that class.
Wow.
So, like, that's, you know, we're already being controlled by technology that is, like, basically in our veins, you know. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be this overwhelming thing where Skynet becomes self-aware. And you know,
I think that better happen.
The world just starts bombing itself. I think it's probably going to be much more seductive and much more slow than
who
that.
Among us doesn't have a fantasy where we're watching our children play at a playground, and as the nuclear blast comes, we're holding onto the chain link fence as we're vaporized
and get disintegrated.
Yo, honestly,
all been there.
I didn't stick around for this long to not be destroyed by robots.
Right.
I would rather we all die like that.
Yeah.
just instant. Everybody else dead with you. That's the part about death that I don't like, is that I'm dying and leaving everybody behind.
The FOMO.
Yeah. The FOMO, like, damn, what I'm going
to
miss.
I'm the opposite. I want people to mourn me.
Yeah. I want to be a ghost and watch them.
Right.
Fucking haunt them.
All right. Let's talk about foodie calls, Miles. There's a new study out.
Yeah, very imperfect
also
study.
Also in the world of science.
Yeah, it's called Foodie Calls. Uh-huh. When women date men for a free meal rather than a relationship. It basically sort of concluded very inefficiently that women who go, like, just read this, let me read this out loud, found that women who go on dates with someone they are not interested in just to get free food are more likely to exhibit the dark triad of personality traits. These traits include psychopathy, narcissism, and Machiavellianism.
Machiavellianism? Yeah. I didn't even know that was a word.
Yeah, that's for all the Tupac fans.
Machiavelli.
Yeah, I don't look. First of all, it sounds like it was written by the bagel boss guy or an incel.
Right.
But they're basically describing a foodie call. Just basically you going on the date because you have no romantic interest whatsoever. You're only there for the free meal.
Right.
And apparently this happened because researchers were seeing like this was like a new trend that they were like, OK, what does this tell us about whatever? OK, so their sample group was they recruited 820 women, 40% were single, 33% were married, and 27% were not married but in a committed relationship, 85% were heterosexual.
Mm.
And in their first experiment, they found 23% of women had engaged in a foodie call. And they did then, like, you know, maybe it was rare or whatever, but they had. In the second group, they found that 33% of participants had also engaged in foodie calls. A little bit higher than the second one.
And this is all self-reported?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So,
and for both groups, they say that the ones who engaged in foodie calls received a higher score in the dark triad of personality traits.
Got it.
Okay. Now, I don't know how fucking sound this is, but there's one thing I do know. Okay. I think people just fuck with free food.
Yeah.
I think this study could easily be done with men as well. And I think it's just sort of like if there are men who think just because they pay for a meal, they should fuck. It's a fuck pass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In that case, by all means, foodie call the fuck out of these people.
Right.
But yeah, it seems like an interesting thing. Personally, I can say that I have been foodie called when I was dating in college. I just thought Shorty was also high like me, had the munchies,
mm-hmm.
and just was always like, hey, can we go eat? And then I was always forgetting her wallet.
Right.
But, you know.
Foodie calls is a big thing with on Twitter. I'll always see, I mean, this may not be a foodie call, but like chicks or, yeah, mostly chicks who say, damn, who on a Postmates me some Taco Bell right now? I'll send you a nude. But they give you, I mean, so
that's
I don't
transactional.
That's transactional. Yeah.
This
yeah,
is
yeah.
not just like, yeah, I'll go out on a date.
I don't know. Self-reported shit, I just feel like that could be people who are more aware of themselves. Like part of the people who are saying they've never done a foodie call might just be people who never admitted to themselves that that's why right. they dated somebody. And then you have to ask yourself, like, do people who score higher in that dark tetrad, like, are they just more willing to tell on themselves and more like in touch with their own like darker personalities? And if that's the case, do they are like, if you're more aware of your own like darker side, are you better at controlling it than somebody who's just like lying to themselves?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm pretty sure this was a study commissioned by incels. It just doesn't, you know, make sense. But again, I mean, just think of how many times just what the allure of food does to people.
Right.
In general, right? Like how many times have you asked the question, is there going to be food? Before like someone invites you to some shit that you're not really totally interested in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's because fucking food is tight.
Yeah.
Food yeah, but is tight.
Yo, every time like my family is big, like, what we gonna eat?
Right.
When we get there.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Like, we need to eat before we leave. Then. Yeah. Like, we ain't leaving before we
or
eat.
Or think of how you used to get like in college when you're kind of broke, when you're like, hey, and I'll feed you. And mm-hmm. like, you're like, help me move and I'll feed you. You're fucking there with bells on. You got a fucking hand trolley and everything. Fucking moving truck.
I'm past that point in my life.
Yeah.
Like, you want to help? You want me to help you move?
For food?
Pay me money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, money.
There's only like maybe four people in the world who I'll go help move without, you know, asking for food.
Are they all family?
Yes.
All right.
My mom.
Right.
I had a family member just be like, when we were moving into New York, we were like, hey, come on over. We'll like order pizza. He was like, yeah, you know, I made a promise to myself I'd never help somebody move after the age of 35. So I'm not going to do that. And I was like,
shit.
Damn, that's a good policy. Yeah. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what the age of the person is, right?
Right.
Because if it's like someone who's like doesn't have a lot of money and you can do them a solid, then I don't think there should be a, you know, a sunset on you know, acts of kindness. But if it's someone that's like 35 and like has their shit together, I'd be like, why the fuck are you asking me?
Yeah.
Like, go fucking.
You know what it is? If it's somebody who last week I saw your ass on Instagram at a bar having a drink.
Yep.
Your ass paying me to help you move.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Because I get it. We all broke. But
if your feed isn't top ramen all the time, then look. Maybe you can do something.
Yeah.
Jaquise, it's been wonderful having you here, man.
My goodness, guys. I have just been thrilled.
Where can people find you?
As always, you can find me in these streets, y'all, and on everything at Jaquise Neal, JACQUISNEAL. Culture Kings, y'all, Culture Kings. Come listen if you haven't.
Yep,
come back if you've left. Keep listening if you do.
Mm. So good. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
All right, I got three tweets. I got three tweets. All of them are pretty quick. Two of them are Scarlett Johansson tweets.
Like from her or about her?
About her. Okay. Yeah, not from her.
Dude, I love her tweets.
I love some ScarJo tweets. One is from at Venger Assemble. And it has a picture of, the tweet is, Marvel has always had good CGI, but this endgame shot where you see ScarJo's two characters in the same shot is brilliant. And it's a picture of ScarJo sitting in the rain in a tree in the background. love it. The second one is a retweet from The Daily Show. They retweeted The Hill, where The Hill has a tweet that says, white GOP lawmaker says, I'm a person of color. And The Daily Show tweets, Scarlett Johansson's bravest role yet.
I'm white. White is a color.
Yes. And then the second one is also, my last one is also a retweet from at Inajama, I-N-A-A-J-A-M-A. And they're retweeting Game of Thrones, congratulating Kit Harington for being nominated for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series for the Emmys. Mm-hmm. And this person tweets, he doesn't want it. Which only you'll only get that if you're a Game of Thrones fan.
Shout out to Benioff and Weiss ducking out on the Comic-Con panel.
Oh, yeah.
They could have just said, yeah, we are not interested in the smoke, so we will actually just say we have a production conflict.
Yeah, I don't blame him, man. I'm like, yo, man, this shit is done, bro. What I got to say about it?
Yeah, right. Let the fans know what the fuck you were thinking.
I guess. It's not going to satisfy him.
No, not
at
all.
It won't satisfy. So really, you're just putting yourself through.
Yeah, but I love it. I want the walkers
you
to come get
heat.
Them. Yeah.
You want that heat? You want that tea, man?
Yeah, oh, man. I want a fucking whole mess.
Speaking of Comic-Con, Tom Cruise just dropped a Top Gun sequel trailer on everybody at Comic-Con.
So. For real?
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm there for it. I like Top Gun.
All right.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, everyone. Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. One is from Steven Rubino at Shrubino. Now that Louis C.K. is done, it's actually okay to steal his jokes. Anyway, my daughter fucking sucks. What else? Another one is actually from Dave Schilling, who basically was quote tweeting. Actually, no, I'll just actually just go to the actual tweet. So Dave Schilling quote tweeted a tweet from Sam Sanders at Sam Sanders, which his tweet just said, it's like an Onion article. And it's from the New York Times Magazine that was like sort of putting out there like, it was sort of like, have we hit peak podcast? Mm. And it was talking about sort of like the industry at large. And it shows this one woman sitting in a chair. It says, Morgan Mandriota's show, The Advice Podcast, was short-lived. We assumed we'd be huge. This is her saying, we assumed we'd be huge, have affiliate marketing deals and advertisements, she said. And it goes on to basically say how they said 6 episodes in, when neither Casper Mattresses nor MeUndies had come knocking, the friends quit their show. And then just sort of going through how, like, a lot of them, it's sort of this new mentality, which I understand, like, because the joke is everyone has a podcast, like literally everyone in this room. Right. But like how many people are just sort of believe that, okay, I'll put something out regardless of quality or what it is. And then I think it'll be international.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. It's a very complex game. And
put it out. Part one. Part two, become famous.
Part two, a free.
That's not how I work.
Shit.
Damn, I quit. That's
amazing. A few tweets I've been enjoying. Logan Trent at The Logan Trent tweeted, how much more sense would it make if Logan and Jake Paul were both Rand Paul's dumb fuck kids? Jen Statsky tweeted, you mean to tell me Cameron Diaz dated The Mask and Shrek? Okay, someone's got a type. And then Phil Jameson at Phil Jameson tweeted, dad is a palindrome, but a father is a pal at home. Hey, champ, how was school?
Wow.
You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We also have a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into the weekend on?
Let's there's a band that I played a long time ago, Kruongkin, that have very vibey music. I think that's from Texas. But they had a new album come out recently, and this is a track off there called Hasta el Cielo.
Until the sky, or until heaven. Wow. Is this the one that was performed by Jeremy Renner?
I think he got a song? I think he's on the remix.
Ooh.
I also might be getting that pronunciation completely wrong.
It's Jeremy Renner.
Oh, that one.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week with another season of The Daily Zeitgeist, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
You are.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.